Hi there, thanks for joining us. It's the Sweet Spot. Bruce Millington and Steve Palmer looking back on last week's BMW Championship, talking over the big talking points that generated, the Ryder Cup final selections and controversy there, and looking ahead to two great tournaments, one in Europe, one in America. Steve, how are you? Did you enjoy the family trip to Wentworth on Sunday? How did it go?
It was a challenging day out, as you can imagine. Yeah, I didn't quite comprehend before how challenging it was going to be. Tommy Tiger, a bit too young for professional golf tournaments. And I quickly realised that. I got quite close to the first tee initially in the group before Lowry, because my plan was to watch Shane Lowry go and win the BMW PGA. Went to the group before him, Nikolai Hogard's group, and just to test it out. And just as the arena was becoming a bit hushed before Nikolai Hogard did his shot, Tommy Tiger, who had been quite up to that point, just shouted out, "I want an ice cream!" And then Nikolai Hogard's caddy gave me the death stare. I just held my hands up and retreated back to the practice putting green. So, and then at that point, I just thought, I can't have him anywhere near Shane Lowry. You know, I can't go and support my man. And then he actually hinder his chances. So, yeah, we retreated from there. And I didn't watch much of Shane Lowry until very late on.
So did Nikola take the kids off to the whatever passed for family entertainment, and you skulked around the side of the fairways watching Shane Lowry? Is that roughly how it worked?
Well, Grace was all right, you see. Grace is obviously old enough to watch some golf, so I took Grace. But Tommy had to be kept well away from the action. He was happier in the bit where he was practicing his own golf. You know, there was that was the highlight of the day for me when we went in there. As you walk in on the left-hand side, there was a bit for kids. And we went in there, and the fella looked at me and he goes, you're going to need to help him, aren't you? And I went, no, it'd be all right. And then just started whacking these Velcro balls at this bullseye of this dartboard thing. So there's like golf darts, you know, he was in his element in there. So, yeah, that was good. But the actual golf watching, as you can imagine, quite challenging.
Did you get recognised?
I did, yeah. So there was a couple of lovely fellas late on, yeah, that came over. Yeah, sort of salt of the earth characters. That wanted photos. Now I apologise for the poor chipping run. They didn't seem remotely bothered. They were having a great day out, and that was nice. That was nice. Yeah, there's some good people there. There's a good vibe there. Yeah, the feeder concert was fantastic.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. They put on a real show at the end. You know, a few uplifting songs after the Shane Lowry, you know, debacle. I think we can call it a debacle. You know, he traded at 5-2 on Sunday. Someone told me he was 5-2 at one stage. Because he started quite well.
Two
under par through seven holes, only two shots behind. And I guess that was the moment that he traded at 5-2. Someone told me that. But the ninth hole was the killer blow, because he bogeyed the ninth hole just as the barn rat and various others were progressing. That really was the moment I realised that he wasn't going to win. And then Ryder Cup pressure, I guess, got to him on that back nine. It was ugly, wasn't it, on the back nine?
It was, yeah, I suppose so, yeah. But it's good going to golf. It's nice to go and watch it, isn't it? And it's great to see the pros and everything.
I agree. No, obviously you can't be a golf tournament. I think it's for adults, though, isn't it?
Definitely. He's way too young.
I love getting the kids involved in as much as possible, but you have to, there's a line that can't be crossed sometimes.
Mm. Yeah, I think probably 6 or 7, I reckon. I think you went about 4 years too early there, but never mind. How did Nikola enjoy it? Did she find it okay, or was she sort of a very sense of duty for her, really, rather than any pleasure?
I think you've hit the nail on the head there, line of duty. I gave her Tommy Tiger, and she tried. We all tried to watch her. We went and watched Laurie Cantor and Francesco Laporta for the first few holes, the leading two ball. There was an Italian couple. I felt so sorry for Nikola, because when we were watching those two, I didn't really care, because I was thinking, if Tommy disgraces himself, it's not so damaging to Shane Lowry.
Were you actually encouraging him to show up?
I really tried to stay dignified for all this, and we were trying our hardest to keep him under control. But there was an Italian couple. This was the moment we had to completely abandon it. They had their Is it a tricolore? The Italian flag. They were really massive Francesco Laporta fans. And they just looked like they wanted to kill us. I don't think we actually put anyone off. Yeah, just in case Keith Pelly's listening there. Certainly didn't deliberately, but yeah, we quickly gave up on that. And yeah, it just turned into a day of ice creams for them, and overpriced noodles and various things.
It's hard to believe a two-year-old wouldn't be excited about seeing Laurie Cantor and Francesco Laporte playing golf, isn't it? But there you go. Honestly, indeed. Kids these days. Oh, well, we better talk about the tournament itself. Obviously, the bookies were sweating down the stretch there. It was three real long-priced runners going for them, and then the tournament favourite Billy Horsch. What was he, tournament favourite?
No, he wasn't favourite
by any means, was he? Of course not. Hovland was favourite, wasn't he? Sorry, what am I talking about? But Horsch would have been fairly well backed, I suppose, as the biggest name American, and he got it done in the end, didn't he? The barn rat had a great chance, didn't he? Just fluffed those two par fives at the end.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, I was cheering on the Barmer at the end there, because obviously we all love the Barmer. Yeah, you know, you can't beat a good, a good monk.
Is he a monk?
He's done a bit of monking in his time,
has
hasn't he? Yeah, he's done it. A lot of the Thai players do a bit of monking just to help with their temperament. There's no better golfing temperament than the monk. And you see him straight after that tournament. He's there waiting for the winner, and all smiles on his face. You know, Barmrat's temperament is fantastic, and I really like the bloke, and I was hoping he would win. But then I really like Billy Horschel. What a credit to the game he is. You know, he jets over for this. Yeah, really enthusiastic about it, isn't he? He says it's up there with the Players' Championship in his affections as a target. He gets the West Ham bag going, doesn't he? Does the West Ham stuff. I mean, you're a Palace fan, so you probably don't enjoy that. But I just love his enthusiasm. He's got West Ham United colours. He says how great the tournament is. I've got a lot of time for him. And, he was motivated by the Ryder Cup snub from Steve Stricker. Yeah, we were on last week saying he probably deserves a place. WGC match play champion. Even more so now, if Brooks Koepka is ruled out through injury, we can have a Ryder Cup conversation if you want. Then, Billy Horschel has to be a live candidate for that.
I do want a Ryder Cup conversation, and I want it now. What on earth is Padraig Harrington thinking of picking Poulter ahead of Rose? It's absolutely ridiculous. It's a ludicrous decision. Don't answer yet, because I'm going to answer my own question. It's a wrong decision. Justin Rose is a better player. He's more suited to Whistling Straits, which is a long course. He's above Poulter in the rankings. Apparently, Poulter was told in March he was going to play. It's ridiculous. Rose has since then had two top tens in American majors. It's absolute nonsense. It really grinds my gears, I believe. I've never said that before. I'm not going to say it against a stupid expression. It gets my goat, let's say that. I don't know what he's playing at. Poulter's 45. This idea, I've been Twitter rounds with everyone this week about, Mr. Ryder Cup, the passion, the pride. Shut up. Since when has passion won you golf tournaments? The one characteristic you need to be good at golf is calm. And it's ridiculous. This myth about his fantastic Ryder Cup record. He's played six Ryder Cups, three very, very average ones, three very good ones. One 13 years ago, one 11 years ago, one 9 years ago. Okay. In the last two Ryder Cups that he's played in, he's got 3 points out of seven. It's complete and utter nonsense. I cannot have it at all. And I think it's a stupid decision. I think we're going to get pulverised anyway, but this only compounds the problems. Over to you, Steve. What do you think?
I've never seen your gear so grinded. Yeah. I've never seen your goat so grinded. God. Can you grind a goat? I'm almost speechless. I'm almost frightened to give my opinion.
Please tell me where I'm wrong.
Which is, of all of that, the most horrifying thing is if he was told in March he's got the place. I mean, what's your source for that? That's outrageous.
I read it in a well-known national newspaper, apparently. Harrington took him out to dinner and said he wants him in the team.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the most alarming thing, because Harrington also said he wants players on form, and to pick a player in March would have been outrageous. Yeah, I don't like that, but I do think Padraig Harrington got his picks correct. I do think, yeah.
How can you leave Rose out?
I think the great crying shame for Padraig Harrington was Shane Lowry not qualifying automatically, because that was the moment where it was, oh my gosh, well, I've only got three picks. America got six picks, we got three. I thought at the time of that decision being made, it was a bit odd. Harrington wanted to reward the players who earned their place on the team. But when Bernd Wiesberger gets an automatic place, that's an absolute hammer blow. If Wiesberger didn't qualify automatically, he's a million to one to get picked. Yeah, you would have had your man Rose in there, you would have had Poulter, and you would have had Garcia if Lowry qualified automatically. It put Harrington in such a difficult position. I know you're not a huge Poulter fan, but Poulter and Garcia, I think they had to be on the team. They're both Ryder Cup colossi. And it's a different type. It's a different different ball. It's not a different ball game, but it's a different.
It's not.
It's a different.
It's just golf. Yeah. It's just golf. No,
but it's just like the key point, which I think you missed there, is that Ian Poulter unsettles his opponents in a match play situation. He unsettles his opponents. He's unbeaten in singles. He's got a fantastic record of Ryder Cup singles. And I just think, you know, as you say, he's getting on a bit now. He's 45 years of age. This is almost certainly his last Ryder Cup, I'd say. You know, he's going to get the Ryder Cup has defined his career. He's going to be a man possessed. He's going to be a borderline psychopath on that team.
Well, that's just what you need, isn't it?
Who do you want to play? If you're off for a game of golf, who do you want to play? The borderline psychopath or Justin Rose? I mean, I think if you ask the 12 American players who they would like to play against, Poulter or Rose, I think they would. Most of them would say Rose.
What, around that track? No way, man.
I think so.
Don't
just
see it at all.
Poulter will just have such an unsettling effect on their own game.
Do you honestly think they're afraid of Ian Poulter?
I think in a Ryder Cup situation, when his behaviour will be, you know, it'll be, you know. You talk about, like, you know, Seve Ballesteros used to have sort of gamesmanship and whatnot. I just think he's a difficult opponent. I think there would have been an outcry if he wasn't on the team. It was just such a shame. I mean, what happened on Sunday was a disaster for me, Shane Lowry dropping away like that. And it was a disaster for Padraig Arrington. It was a disaster for you because you didn't get Rosie on there. I mean,
that's not a disaster. It's just golf, isn't it?
Well,
comparative. I'm not that fussed about it because I go into it and my bets decide who I cheer. I don't, you know, feel any great affinity for my continent. I'm lucky enough to live in a nice, safe continent, but, you know, that's about it. But, you know, I just don't think it's fair. I think that he's picked, you know, his choices were all the old guard. Now, I know that this hasn't been a year of colossal progression for some of the young players, but I mean, come on. And the other thing I would say as well is this idea that Poulter's going to motivate the team. You think John Rahm and Victor Hovland are going to sort of listen to Poulter walking around the change room, smashing himself on the chest and go, oh, yeah, I must play a bit better. They'll be like, who's he to tell me what to do?
No. I don't really see the in that respect. I just think in the actual games, I think Poulter will be very effective. I mean, he played very well with Rory McIlroy, didn't he, in the famous Miracle of Medina. I wonder whether McIlroy and Poulter might be a good combo. A lot of people were assuming McIlroy and Lowry play together, but I know Shane Lowry and Lee Westwood are very close now. They have these little trips to Augusta together and whatnot. So I wonder whether Lowry and Westwood might be paired. Poulter and McIlroy could go nicely together.
A quiz for you, Steve. In the 2014 Ryder Cup, which I think was at Glen Eagles, wasn't it? Who did Poulter partner in the morning of the first day? I'll give you a quid if you can say it.
I don't know.
So you're obviously looking at
Jamie Donaldson.
No, I wasn't accusing you of cheating. I'm saying you are looking at obviously a sort of obscure Ryder Cupper, aren't you?
Yeah. I assumed you meant an obscure Ryder Cupper. Mm, yeah. Sorry, I can't remember. Go on, put me out of my
Stephen
misery.
Stephen Gallagher.
Ah, yeah.
How about that?
I wouldn't have thought
Stephen Gallagher would have been a Ryder Cupper.
No, he was. Yeah, he was a home Ryder Cupper there, wasn't he? Yeah. Mm. Yeah. It's a shame what's happened to Stephen Gallagher. Would you rather have had him than Ian Poulter?
No, not at all. No, I'm not saying that. I just think Justin Rose is a class act. I'm just astonished that he's not in there.
It's such a shame you can't have both because they could have paired together, those two. You know, they get on really well. I mean, when we were at where would we go? Valhalla, weren't they? I think they were a pairing there. They've certainly been a successful away pairing together. I can't remember where it was. So it's just a crying shame that Larry didn't get in there because nobody. Bert Beesberg is a nice man, but nobody wanted him on that team. Yeah, he's earned his place on that team. He deserves his place on that team. But yeah, if we could have just kept Larry in that team automatically, everything would have been all right.
Do you think Europe have got hope? I mean, we're obviously going to be looking in next week's sweet spot at the Titanic tussle in depth. But I think it's about 8-15 the US, 9-4 Europe, and the draw is 12-1. At this point, have you got solid thoughts or are you going to solidify them in the coming days?
I'm going to solidify them in the coming days. Yeah, I'm certainly not ruling them out. You know, I'll see how the market develops and make my decision from there. I haven't got into the minutiae of pairings yet where I sort of work out. I like to work out the full card for each session and then work from there. Obviously, you don't know who's playing who, but you can work out partnerships. Yeah, I don't think I don't think everything's going plain sailing for the Americans. You know, I mean, the Brooks Koepka shadow is still there.
What's the latest on his wrist? Have we heard?
Well, he didn't turn up to the practice session. They had a little practice session at the weekend, all the team, and he wasn't there. I still don't see how he can recover from a wrist injury like that in time. So,
and so who would come in then? Horschel, do you think?
Great question. Great question. I would pick Horschel, but Horschel didn't even get the unlucky mate phone call. Like Stricker said,
didn't he? Who got them?
Stricker didn't say, but Horschel has revealed he didn't get the unlucky mate phone call. So Stricker said he phoned all the people that, were close to making the team.
And he didn't even get the unlucky mate.
No, why he was so motivated last week, and showed Stricker what he's missing. Surely Horschel will be a candidate for that. Webb Simpson is playing this week in the Fortinet. Kevin Nahr playing this week. Yeah, I think those would be the three, because Patrick Reed has sort of burnt his bridges, or his wife has. I mean, have you seen?
Oh, did she go tonto? Did she in the news? Well, of his snub.
Yeah, on Twitter, she seems to be in charge of his, by all accounts, she's in charge of his social media accounts, and everything that was critical of Steve Stricker, she was liking it all on Twitter.
Oh, wow.
On his official Twitter account, so it looks like Patrick Reed's liking the anti-Stricker stuff. So how can Stricker now ring him up and say, oh, Cookley's not going to make it, do you want to come on, mate?
Yeah.
And slag me off for a week. So I don't know, I think Billy Horschel should be picked, but maybe I don't know, it's all horses for courses. So I went for a slurp there, then I've got more to say. I mean, he's picked Scotty Scheffler because of his course credentials. As you say, Whiston Straits is a long, open beast. You know, Scotty Scheffler is perfect for it. So I was going to say maybe Webb Simpson, Kevin Nahr, Billy Horschel. None of those three are big hitters, so I don't know. Patrick Reed, I don't think he can pick.
Who's the next sort of bomber in line?
It's a great question, Bruce. It's a great question.
Who knows?
Should we park
the Ryder Cup now?
I think we should perhaps park it, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Let's park it till we know whether Cook is going to play. They have to make that announcement very soon.
Okay, well, do join us next Tuesday for another Sweet Spot Ryder Cup special. In the meantime, though, two great tournaments between now and then. Let's get stuck into them. Steve loves... I like going to America first because they're better tournaments, but Steve's such a sort of stickler for chronology. So we're going to go with the Dutch Open because for the valid reason that starts a few hours earlier. But anyway, the Dutch Open is our European tournament. Here are some guide prices. As we always say, shop around for best prices and best each way terms. Thomas Peters, Steve's old mate, is favourite at 12-1. Brandon Grace, another of Steve old mates, 14-1. And yet another of Steve, blimey, it's like an old mates open. Sam Horsfield, he's 16. Detry's 20. Burmester's 20. Luton is 22. Veerman, 22. Beef, Andy Johnson, 25, Kreuzwick, 25, Sabatini, 28, and it's 30 bar. Okay, Steve, tell us about the Dutch Open. Where is it taking place?
We're at a new venue, Bernardus Golf in Kromvoort, Netherlands. 7,125 yards, par 72, only opened 3 years ago. Sand-based fairways, lots of transplanted heather. So they've turned this into a heathland track. Yeah, the heather wasn't there initially. They brought it in. Not many trees. Generous fairways, not much rough, relatively slow greens by all accounts. So it looks very easy. The weather forecast is benign. I think a powerhouse with a hot putter will win this.
Oh, okay. How many selections?
Got five.
Five. Right then, lead on. Who's and the headline tip this week?
You're going to love this one. I can't wait to see your little face. The aforementioned Thomas Peters, who has always been one of the best ball strikers on the European Tour. And last week, he's made a breakthrough with his troublesome putting. He said he's done some tinkering with his putting stroke at Wentworth. He's thrilled with the results. The stats back up that claim. He was 15th in the putts per round stats at Wentworth last week. Finished 9th in the tournament. Bogey free on Sunday. Eagled the 18th for a 66. Nothing worse than a bogey all week. This is such solid golf from Peters on an unsuitable track. You know, really tough, challenging track, Wentworth, these days. He's got nothing worse than a bogey all week. I loved what I saw. He carded four under par rounds in the Italian Open the week before last. Finished 18th there. So, yeah, I know I've got a bit of an affection for Thomas Peters, but I'm officially encouraged by what I'm seeing. He's a four-time European Tour champion at the age of 29. You know, he's been around for a long time. He's still only 29. He won four titles. The second of those wins came in the Dutch Open in 2015. I think you'll fall in love with this week's venue. And, I'm going to trust Peters to show how good he is. I know you've got your doubts, but this is a world-class talent getting his act together again.
Okay, the main danger?
The main danger is Dean Burmester at 22-1, one of the longest drivers on the circuit. He'll love the setup this week as well. He can go all guns blazing. His putting stroke is great these days as well. He won the Tenerife Open in May, leaderboard regular since then. He was 6th in the Czech Masters. I like the Czech Masters form. 6th in that last month. Similar assignment to this one, I think. He carded four rounds of 70 last week. 70, 70, 70, 70. That's solid goal for Wentworth. No, it's unusual. It's
thanks for explaining that.
I love those little tidbits.
No, I do actually. I get quite excited by that sort of stuff. It's mad, isn't it? Do you know what? I played golf yesterday, Steve. I played two rounds at two different tracks and scored 36 Stableford points at each.
Ah, it's incredible. How about that, eh? Yeah. What price was that?
36-36.
That's amazing, isn't it? Mm. So, yeah, 70-70-70-70, which is really solid golf on a much less suitable track. I think Dean Burmester opens in shoulders this week and contends for a third European Tour title.
Right, you are. Three more tips. Rattle through those for us.
Three more tips. One relatively short and then two big whoppers. Johannes Veerman at 25-1. He's an American, but he's got a Dutch dad, Veerman Sr. Jan Veerman, will be extremely keen on his son winning this tournament. There's no doubt that Veerman Jr. is swinging well enough to do it. I have my doubts about Veerman being too nice a guy to be a champion. You know, I like my golfers to be nasty, you know, vicious characters, tigers. So, yeah, this Veerman is such a nice bloke that I wonder. But he got the job done. He won the Czech Masters, the aforementioned Czech Masters, by two shots last month. Tight finish. So he's got the ability. Nice guys can win. He was eighth in the Italian Open the week before last. Had a bad six-hole stretch at Wentworth on Sunday. Dropped down the board, lost a bit of focus. Wouldn't worry about that. Life's good for Johannes Veerman. Happily married. Baby on the way. And he's winning golf tournaments now as well.
You're very vehement about Veerman, aren't you?
I can see something was brewing. You had a little smirk.
Sorry, yeah. I'm
telltale smirk.
I'm useless poker player. Right, okay. Two whoppers, you said. Who's the first of those?
The first of the whoppers is Valco Nienaber. We haven't had for a while, but we're huge fans of Valco Nienaber, ludicrously long driver, raw talent. A lot can go wrong when you hit the ball as far as he does. He's been missing a few cuts, but when he's in the groove, you know, the results are spectacular. He won the Dimension Data Pro-Am on the Sunshine Tour in May. That's one of the best events on the Sunshine Tour. He was 14th on his PGA Tour debut in June. The Palmetto Championship showed the stateside galleries what he's capable of. He's already got three top six finishes on the European Tour. So this bet is based on potential and price. He's 90-1, Valco Nienaber. When it all clicks for him, he's going to be winning loads of titles. I think this course is a good fit.
You have to sort of prepare with him, though, don't you? It could blow out, couldn't it? Because, I mean, you know, you taught me to always check leaderboards from the bottom up, and I invariably find his name crops up sooner rather than later when you are doing that.
Yeah, an explosive player. I mean, you could get four birdies in a row and then a quadruple bogey. He's that type of player at the moment, a raw talent. But, you know, one of these days, Valco Nienaber is going to have a mantelpiece full of silverware, and the Dutch Open could be on there.
OK, and finally...
And finally, is Elvis Smiley.
No way.
Another youngster
with one called Elvis Smiley.
Probably the greatest name in golf now, I'd say, Elvis Smiley. And potentially soon could have the greatest game in golf too. You know, he's that good. Australian golf fans know all about him. He's already had three top threes on the Australasian Tour. He's had two European Tour invites, and they've resulted in two missed cuts. But he's improved his score in every round. 76, 75, 74, 71. Missed the cut by a shot in the Casio Open last time out. He turned pro in February. He's only 19. Left-hander, beautiful swing. I think Elvis should be one for the money.
Very good. Does he wear blue suede golf shoes? That would be good. He should do, shouldn't he? I mean, that would be very disappointing if he
doesn't. It's a great name, Elvis.
Elvis Smiley, that's brilliant.
He's 250-1, and he's got bags of ability. And he will be winning tournaments soon. Yeah, this is a very straightforward course. You know, I can see him falling. You know, he's had his two little spins. He's settled into the European Tour game now. I think you've got to play him at those prices.
Did you have a little look at Brandon Grace, Steve? Because he's obviously one of your favourites, isn't he? And, you know, he will view this as a very winnable opportunity, I'm sure, won't he?
Yeah, I prefer the three others there. Yeah, I didn't get excited by the price. I was surprised he was jostling for favouritism with Peters at the start of the week, actually. It was between them two at the start of the week, and then Peters has gone slightly ahead of him. Now, I much prefer Thomas Peters to Brandon Grace. Now, the two dangers for me, George Casilla. George Casilla's got power off the tee and a hot putter, which I think is the keys to success this week. He won a Sunshine Tour event last month. So, yeah, I can see Gorgeous George playing well. And Joust Luiten, of course. I
think he's good at this one, isn't he?
Yeah, he's going for a hat-trick. You know, it used to be a KLM Open. I think KLM must be in a bit of trouble. They're not bothering sports.
Yeah, the airline industry's had a bad time. Yeah,
It has. But you've got to respect Joust Luiten, in this tournament. He's the touring professional for Barnardus. So he'll know the course better than most. So they were the two closest to selection, but I got my five and I'm happy with them.
Jolly good. Let's cross the Atlantic now to America, where one industry that's certainly not done bad is the internet. And I presume that that's what the Fortinet company is involved in. They sponsor the Fortinet Championship. So we'll have a quick skim through the betting. And Big Johnny Rahm is out and obviously dominates the market around about 4-1. Webb Simpson is 14s, Matsuyama 20s. Good tournament, this. Kevin Na 22, Will Zalatoris is 28. Cameron Tringale is 33, Harold Varner the third 35, and it's 40-1. But and Steve, the first thing I want to ask you actually about this before you tell us about the course, is this the first tournament where all the sort of new intake of PGA stars are? Because some really interesting new names and some fairly short prices. So there's obviously one or two, you know, decent prospects coming into the PGA mix here.
Yeah, we've been waiting very patiently because of coronavirus delayed everything. All the heroes from 2020, the Korn Ferry stars from 2020, finally getting their upgrade. And there's a few of them in my staking plan. So, yeah, you've got a real fresh batch coming on. And a lot of them are really, really good. Fortinet is an internet security company. I did do that little bit of research after we were questioning it last week. So, yeah, it's
sorry, I saw you fiddling with your brim there. Do you like a nice arched brim or a flat brim on your cap? I'm arched all day. I can't have those flat Charlie Hoffman ones.
I like to go like that sometimes. I think when I'm under pressure, I do that to sort of, you know, hide
away. It's
like
a stress ball, is it?
Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah. I mean, if you close your eyes, you're perfectly safe, aren't you? So when I'm under maximum pressure, I'll just do this. Then no one can hurt me.
Oh, that was sweet.
No, I got the hat on today because the wet look gel didn't work out last week. You know, on a Tuesday morning, I'm like, yeah, if I'm getting a bit of a flap, I think, can I devote 10 minutes to styling my hair? No, put the hat on.
Jolly good. Okay, right then. So tell us all about the venue. I don't even know which side of the USA we're on. Are we East Coast, West Coast?
We're in California. Yeah, we're at the North Course at Silverado Resort and Spa in Napa Valley. 7,123 yards, par 72. It's hosted from 2014 onwards. Used to be the Fries.com Open, then the Safeway.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is the old Safeway. Silverado is a resort course, but the fairways are quite tight. It's tree-lined. The rough is fairly thick. The Poana greens are quite small, so it's no pushover. And we've got five tips, and I think the number one selection is the bet of the week.
Is it? Right. Okay, so I suppose the first question is, are you going to be with or against Big Johnny?
I'm against Big Johnny. I don't know why Big Johnny's playing in this. I think it's an odd move. You know, we come in, you know, not that long after the FedEx Cup playoffs. You know, he's heavily involved in that. You know, I thought he's going to put his feet up until the Ryder Cup. Like, I think that would have been a sensible tactic, like Rory McIlroy has done. You know, Padraig Harrington is going to need John Rahm fully firing for the Ryder Cup if Europe are going to win. Yeah, I just think it's an odd move from him. How can he not be distracted by next week's events? Yeah, it's a tight, fiddly course that requires concentration, course management. I don't know. And the price, obviously, 4-1 is, you know, an 156 runner event, 4-1 with a potentially distracted player. And all those newcomers, as you say, will fully focus. Yeah, probably the least motivated player in the field.
I know we're not talking about the Ryder Cup. I'm going to keep banging on about it. But I'm quite interested to know what you think of this. Who will Rahm be partnered with on the first morning, do you think?
It's a great question. There's no obvious one. I don't think him and Sergio Garcia get on particularly well. So, you know, in the olden days, it would have been old, you know, pairing all the nationalities, really. Old-fashioned captains, your Sam Torrences, your Mark James. It was all, oh, yeah, we'll just put him together. Oh, he's a Swede. He'll go with the Swede. Mm. Doesn't happen like that these days. You know, it's international tours, players playing all over the world. And it's just, you know, who they're friendly with, who they get on well with. And I just sense that John Rahm and Sergio Garcia don't actually like each other.
Okay.
Just from picking up stuff in interviews. So I think, yeah, to answer your question, sorry, I've gone around the houses. I think Victor Hovland is a lively candidate.
Yeah, I wondered that, whether he'd put his two young guns, you know, they're the two elite players in that team really now, and whether he just puts them together and says, right, you know, go and win me 3 points out of four on the first 2 days and see what you can do.
Hovland's a rookie. I think it'll do John Rahm good to be the senior partner. Yeah, because John Rahm, as we know, is a bit of a hothead, can lose his head quite a bit. If he goes into there having to put an arm around Victor Hovland and be the sort of team captain, the leader, the set the example, I think that'll work well for both John Rahm and Victor Hovland.
Okay, sorry. Anyway, Peter, stop dilly-dallying. Who's the headline selection? Who is it?
Well, if we, I just had another Ryder Cup thought pop in my head. I'm sorry, we are dilly dallying, but yeah, we're talking about Brooks Koepka and who's pulling out. We've got used in these horrible times of players just pulling out with COVID, haven't we? All of a sudden, are we confident that your 12 against 12, you know, when they're finally set in stone, are going to get through that week? John Rahm seems to get COVID every time he goes to a tournament. Is he going to get it at the Fortinet this week?
It's a very good point. It might even be that some of the vice captains might end up playing, and that brings in all sorts of old favourites, doesn't it?
It does. You could have Stricker against Harrington deciding the cup.
Because you can't. Can you ask people to go? I mean, the Americans could probably say to a Cameron Champ or someone, "Look, would you mind just loitering in the vicinity? And if we need you at the last minute," but you can't expect a European to fly over like Kamer did in 2008 for the experience. I suppose you could. He could say to one of the Hogard twins, "Look, if you fancy coming over, being part of the team, get a feel for the vibe." Perhaps that is, you know, something that could happen, I guess.
I think that, yeah, I think there'd be loads of people prepared to play the loiterer role. But, what's the rules and regs on that then? I think there will be envelopes with backup players in there, but or they'll just go half points. It's such a fine balance now, because do they want loads of people there when it's supposed to be all like keeping the numbers down? It's a minefield, and it's a rubbish punting tournament, and that just makes it even more difficult.
Rubbish punting tournament, yeah.
Sorry.
I've got to try and promote our show next week, and then Racing Post pull out, and you're saying it's a rubbish tournament. It might be good. You might see a price that's wrong, and it might be a good punting tournament.
It might. Yeah, I just always struggle with that one, because you don't know who's playing who, and we pride ourselves on our honesty here, don't we, Bruce?
I suppose we do. Yeah. Right. Who's the headline selection? There's been more ado than ever before. Who is it?
This is your bet of the week, and this is Will Zalatoris at 28-1, who like Thomas Peters has made a putting breakthrough, and this one was down to an equipment change rather than a new stroke. Zalatoris, I don't know if you remember, he got a little injury at the Open. He was hacking from the Royal St George's rough. Tweaked a muscle, had to have a fortnight off swinging a golf club. All he could do in that fortnight was practice his putting. And during that, him and his team noticed that there was a little indent in his putter face. It caved in. The insert of his putter had caved in. And he'd been getting really frustrated with his putting. He couldn't understand why, like, a perfect putting stroke was getting offline results. And now they spotted this problem with the putter face. Since he's got that sorted and got a new putter face in there, his putting stats have improved. So massive fillip for Zalatoris. Putting's been the weakness, and now may have solved the problem. He was eighth in the Memphis WGC next time out. Didn't qualify for the FedEx Cup playoffs because he wasn't a PGA Tour member. Do you know about that? A quirk of the system. Absolutely bonkers that Zalatoris wasn't in the FedEx Cup playoffs. When you consider he's just been announced as Rookie of the Year, they seem
Why wasn't he in?
Because he wasn't a full member, because they didn't have that.
What's a full member?
It wasn't a PGA Tour member, because the only reason he was playing on the PGA Tour was because of his Korn Ferry Tour heroics. They didn't count because of the delay with the pandemic. And that's it. So he wasn't a full PGA Tour member, and the only... The only people allowed in the FedEx Cup playoffs were four PGA Tour members. So, yeah, absolutely outrageous. But the good thing is he's had a nice little rest by missing those playoffs. He's finally been handed his PGA Tour card, got the upgrade. And what a perfect place to start the new campaign for Zalatoris. He's a Californian. He loves putting on Poana greens. He says it's his favourite putting service. This is a decent tee to green test. Favours strong drivers. He's one of the best drivers out there, I think. Yeah, I think a refreshed Zalatoris humbles Rahm and the rest this week. Maiden PGA Tour title.
Lovely stuff. Who is the main danger? Going for a swig there. Where
I was going,
I'll elongate the question. So, Steve, if it's not Will Zalatoris, who's the likeliest player to win the Fortinet Championship?
Thanks, Bruce. Great question. Kevin Na. Kevin Na. There's a lot of love around for Kevin Na at the moment. I think he's feeding off that love. There's not a lot more that he could have done to advertise his Ryder Cup wildcard potential. Runner-up in the John Deere in July. Playoff loser in the Wyndham a month ago. Joint lowest scorer in the Tour Championship. Him and Rahm are the lowest 72-hole scorers. That's a long, tough par 70. He's hitting his ball as well as he ever has.
How's it all come so good for Na? Because, I mean, he was in that sort of Ryan Moore bracket, really, wasn't he? He'd pop up every so often. But now he's a regular fixture in the top 10, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, it used to just be short game with Kevin Na, but he's actually a really pure ball striker now. And, his ball striking stats lately have been amazing. But Steve Stricker is just not interested in him because he's gone for this horses for courses idea that we've been talking about. Your Scottish Shefflers. Nahr's a short hitter. That doesn't look like he's going to get in. But just like Billy Horschel took out his Ryder Cup frustrations at Wentworth, I can see Kevin Nahr doing likewise at Silverado. He grew up in California. He lost a playoff at Silverado in 2015 to Emiliano Grillo. He's got some other good Californian form at Riviera. So, yeah, I think Kevin Nahr, a surefire contender if he can get his headspace right.
Jolly good. Three more.
Three more. All at big prices. Two absolute whoppers. The third one is Maito Pereira, an accurate Chilean player. His career is taking off at the age of 26. He made his Corn Ferry Tour breakthrough last year. Then he won another two titles on the Corn Ferry this summer. And he was in that massive playoff for bronze, you know, that seven-way playoff for bronze at the Olympics. You must remember that.
I enjoyed that.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. And that came after he'd been threatening a maiden PGA Tour win in his previous two starts. Fifth in the Barbasol Championship, sixth in the 3M Open. So the penny has dropped for Maito Pereira. Great driver of the ball. I think that's a key to success at Silverado. Serious runner. And then we've got two at enormous prices. 250-1 is the fifth one. Sorry, the fourth one. Brandon Wu. Brandon Wu, a Californian competing in his home state this week. Great amateur career. Found the Corn Ferry Tour an absolute doddle. He won the Corn Ferry Tour Championship a year ago. And then obviously he had that weight that we've discussed to get the upgrade. Finally gets the reward for winning that tournament. He got his PGA Tour card now. Yeah, bursting with talent. Brandon Wu can make an impact this week in his home state.
And Steve, I would just say that I'm just looking down the prices here. You've got Brandon Wu and at a very similar price. You've got Dylan Wu. So yeah. Just make sure you get the right one. Okay.
Watch your Wus. And then the final one at 300-1 is Ben Coles, K-O-H-L-E-S. Ben Coles, a player I really liked back in the day. Coles looked pure class when he was an amateur. But then the start he made to his professional career was just obscenely good. He won on the Web.com Tour on his debut. That's now the Corn Ferry Tour. He won on the Web.com Tour on his debut, and then he won again the following week. Final round 62, three-shot victory. The first player to ever win their first two Web.com Tour events. So Ben Coles, destined to be a superstar, didn't work out on the PGA Tour, dropped straight back down to the lower grade. 8 years later, he's back on the PGA Tour. So it's a fairy tale story. He's 31 now, back on the PGA Tour. He's been really consistent on the Corn Ferry Tour over the last couple of years. He struck up a deadly combination with a veteran caddy. His caddy is 80 years old.
No way. Is he really?
His caddy is 80. Is a legend. He's an absolute legend. JJ James, massive character. He says he wants to die on the golf course. He says he literally caddy.
Every chance, I would have thought, at 80, lugging a bag around all week.
Well, he had a heart attack 3 years ago. He says he's happy to die on the golf course. There's no better place to die, he says, than on the golf course. He's got a really close bond with Coles because when he had that heart attack, he said that Coles stuck with him. A lot of players would have said, all right, now it's time to knock it on the head. Coles said, when you're ready to come back, come back. And it's worked out really well. They've been a great combination on the Corn Ferry Tour. And I think Ben Coles is ready to push on the PGA Tour this year.
Quite like the sound of JJ James. He sounds like an absolute legend, doesn't he?
Type him into Google, you'll find out all about it.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I'll be so happy for Ben Coles and JJ James when they're victorious on Sunday.
That's superb. Excellent. Okay, so you don't like Rahm, price too short. Anyone else you want to comment on?
Yeah, two dangers that I ummed and hawed over for a long, long time. I mean, Webb Simpson is another one, isn't he? Who could do the I'll show you Steve role. You know, Billy Horschel said, I'll show you Steve, and he did show Steve.
Webb Simpson's not that sort of guy, though, is he?
Well, he's a Lord lover. He's a Lord lover. I suppose that, you know, levels you out a little bit. But, you know, he would have felt a snub there. I mean, he had big, big wildcard claims for me. He's been a decent nick lately. So if Simpson's fully focused on this, I think he'll go well. And the other one's Cameron Champ, aforementioned, former Silverado winner, won the 2019 edition, loves performing in his home state of California. I did consider Cameron Champ long and hard, but he's got a lot going on. He's got a foundation that's very heavily involved in the Pro-Am this week. He's got a very busy Wednesday. I just wondered if it would just take his eye off the ball a little bit.
Jolly good. Nice one. Thank you very much, Steve. Let's reiterate the tips. Dutch Open.
Thomas Peters, Dean Burmester, Johannes Veerman, Valko Nienaber, Elvis Smiley.
And the Fortinet Championship.
Will Zalatoris, Kevin Nahr, Maito Pereira, Brandon Wu, Ben Coles.
And if you're only having one golf bet this week?
Oh, blimey. See, because I'm on a little bit of a bad run, well, a big of a bad run, I would normally say a double in this scenario, but I think a Will Zalatoris single, a Will Zalatoris each way single would be sensible.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's the best bet. But if, yeah, we love our doubles, Thomas Peters and Will Zalatoris double, each way double.
Sensible is always good when it comes to betting, isn't
Yeah.
it, Steve, eh?
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah, I'm starting to wonder.
It's only taken 20 years. Okay. We're out on the course tomorrow, aren't we? We dodged
We
a bullet.
are.
If we'd done it today, it's absolutely chucking it down where I am.
We
I don't know
are.
what it's like in Weymouth, but
Yeah,
we've got the
chucking it.
Malcolm Palmer Golf Day commemorating that lovely long sorry, dear departed friend with our friends at Coral. So looking forward to that. Are you in good nick?
Not physically, no. I've got this repetitive strain injury in my left pinky. This left hand is just ravaged, actually, because I got electrocuted on Saturday. I was trying to fix this lamp. There's a long-standing problem in our lounge that Tommy Tiger broke this lamp in our lounge, the main lounge. He knocked it over and it sort of broke the main fitting down the middle. So you've had the stalks, I don't know what they're called, but the stalks have been exposed. The live wires have been
Yeah.
exposed. So my job on Saturday was to get the holes back in the stalks and then, get it all good. So I was doing lots of testing, turning off of the mains, turning off, yeah, two, but lots of on and offs, on and offs. And after about 10 minutes of struggle, I just sort of lost concentration and touched it when it was all on. And I touched it with the middle finger and I just went fizzing back across the room.
Oh my goodness.
Grace learnt about five new swear words as I shot back across the room. She was in the room laughing her head off. Didn't
Jeez.
realise the severity of the situation. I don't know how serious that is. Could I have died or fainted
I
or
don't
something?
know. I'm not really an expert on electrocutions, but yeah, it didn't
That's
sound
just.
like something you'd advise anyone to do.
No. That's been aching ever since. So that pinky finger's got
Yeah.
RSI. That one's just got electrocution damage. So yeah, I can't see me competing much here. But beware the electrocuted golfer is not.
Well,
It's not what I've heard of, is it? So I think I'm
no,
going to
we
be a.
might reinvent a new phrase there. Goodness me. Okay, well, we'll enjoy that tomorrow. Have a nice day. And then we are back next Tuesday for a Ryder Cup special. So good luck with your tips, Steve. Good luck with your bets, everyone. Don't forget, only bet with money you can afford to lose. And we'll see you next week for a Ryder Cup sweet spot special.